Larry appreciates so much, as I was sharing with him on the phone, even though he will get a, he already has a certificate of ordination from the ordination board, the anointing service, he wants to be held here at Powhatan, and so we want to give him a special certificate in remembrance of this event today. And so this morning, I'm going to ask Larry if he'll come and stand down here in the front. And Diane, if you'll come and stand down here in the front with your husband. This certificate reads, Powhatan Original Free Will Baptist Church takes great pleasure in presenting this certificate of recognition to Reverend Larry Coates in celebration of the reissue of his certificate of ordination, action approved and ordered executed by the Board of Ordination, Cape Fear Conference, effective March the 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2008. May the Lord's richest blessings follow Brother Larry and Sister Diane in their ministry, presented this day, this day during a special anointing and prayer service conducted at Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church, given unto my hand with the approval of the Ordination Board of the Cape Fear Conference this date, March 2, 2008, signed Reverend Jim Bogle. And we have our seal there. Our seal says Fellowship, Christian Fellowship since 1888. And I want you to know that Larry has a previous association with Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church. Larry was originally licensed out of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church to preach the gospel. And what a joy it is for him to come back. And also, he's the founder of the Prodigal Son Ministry that you will probably be hearing a great deal about in the coming months. And certainly, if you have a desire to serve the Lord in any way, shape, or form, in Larry's ministry, he can use your support. He can use your help, and he'll probably be sharing a little bit about that, the Prodigal Son Ministry. But we count it a joy and a privilege to present this certificate to Larry and Diane. God bless. Larry, if you'd like to share something, I'm going to have the deacons come forward, and we're going to have prayer. But if you'd like to, amen. I'm going to ask the deacons if they'll come forward at this time. And if you're a deacon here visiting from another church, we're going to ask you if you as well if you'll come forward. If you're a pastor visiting with us this morning. We would invite you to come as well as we have an anointing prayer for Brother Larry and Diane. Can we ask you to kneel right here? We can just gather around, gentlemen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come right now in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we count it a joy and a privilege to minister, Father, in this ceremony this morning, to pray especially for Larry and for Diane, Father, in the ministry that you've called them into. Father, Larry is not sufficient to accomplish all of the things that you've laid upon his heart. I'm not sufficient to bid a blessing upon him, Father. Only the Holy Spirit is able to do these things. So, Father, we just come to you right now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we pray, Father, that you just minister to him. Allow that Holy Spirit to move in a powerful and wonderful way upon his ministry, Father. Lord, we ask your blessing upon Larry and Diane, Father. We pray that the Lord use them in a powerful way. You get praise, get honor, and glory, Father, that the kingdom of God might grow through his ministry. Bless him, Father. Use him, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. And Brother Larry, at this time, you come and you share with us what God's laid on your heart.
How about now? Whoa!
Hallelujah. Mm.
All right, well, I'll say that again. I can't tell you how much this means to me today. I'm not so sure that this particular certificate over here doesn't mean a little bit more to me than the actual ordination papers. Now, to some of you, it may not understand what's going on here, so let me try to explain it to you. In order for something to be fixed, at some time it has to be broken. I got broken. 32 years ago, I turned in my credentials, and some of you know this and some of you don't, and I'm going to make this really brief. I turned in my credentials as a Free Will Baptist minister, and I became that prodigal son that the Bible talks about. Early part of December 2001, God let me come home. Now, I've got to tell you, I never thought this day would ever come. I never thought that I would ever be allowed to preach again or to speak in His name. I never thought I'd have the opportunity to be here in this church. I thought I was done with. I had a lot of people tell me that. A lot of people tell me that I was a broken vessel, that God had put me on the shelf, that He had no more use for me. What a liar Satan is. I have no idea where this is going to go. I don't know what God will do with it. I can tell you I'm not actively seeking a church to pastor. I take it one day at a time, and I've put it in God's hands to lead us where He wants us to go. Now, I can tell you, I did not want to come back here. In 2001, when things happened and God allowed me to be restored into fellowship with Him, I was determined that I wanted to serve Him. And I promised Him on my knees beside of my bed in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, just me and Him, that if He would forgive me for those things that were in my past, and that if He would help me to forgive other people that I held so much hatred toward, that I would serve Him for the rest of my life in whatever capacity He chose and wherever He decided to send me. But I didn't want to come here. I didn't want to come back to Johnson County. I wanted to enter into a ministry in Greensboro or Oak Ridge or Winston-Salem or somewhere further that direction. I didn't want to come back here. It seemed that doors started to open, and then just as fast as they would open, they would close again. And God let me know in no uncertain terms I had to come back here. But I didn't want to come where people knew me. I didn't want to come where people had seen me fall. I wanted to do it somewhere else. But I'm as convinced today as I'm convinced that I'm breathing God's fresh air that this is where God wants me to be. And as long as I have strength, this is where I'm going to be. We've got our house for sale. I believe God's got somebody planned to buy it. When they do, coming home. Starting April the 1st, we're going to do a television ministry under the heading of Prodigal Son Ministries. I named it the Prodigal Son Ministries because that's who I am. And that's what I am. Hopefully, shortly after that, we'll be following with a couple of weekly radio programs. And if God should so lead, we're going to try to plant a church somewhere here in eastern North Carolina. Don't know where that's going to be. Be a different kind of church. My Free Will Baptist brethren are going to really have to love me or it'll scare them to death. Because we're going after those people that the world don't want. I had a friend of mine that told me a couple of years ago when we go out and God allows me to witness to somebody. He told me that, he said, Larry, you tell too much. You go too much into detail. And I had to tell him how proud I was of him. His name is Ray. And I said, Ray, I'm so glad that you can look back over your life and you don't see anything dirty. You don't see anything bad. The worst thing Ray ever did was, Billy, I don't think he ever did anything worse than play a little poker and shoot some pool. But there was nothing dirty back there. I can't do that. But I said, Ray, there's a lot more people like me than there are like you. There's a lot of us prodigal sons and daughters out there. And I want to tell you something this morning. You don't have to live in a pig pen to be a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. The only thing we have to do is to be out of the will of God. That makes us a prodigal son and a prodigal daughter. Would you stand with me for just a moment, please? This morning we're going to talk about a portion of Scripture that it's the first time in all these years back that I've spoken on this. And it's about the prodigal son. I was asked a question not long ago. And the only way I can answer it is by going to the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, talking about this young man. But first I'm going to ask you, if you will, to bow your heads with me. And those of you who are Christians this morning, you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God and that heaven's your home. I'm going to ask you to pray with me and pray for this service. If you're not a Christian this morning, I'm going to ask you to open your heart and your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ and consider letting Him come into your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for this place and this hour and this time. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us one more opportunity this side of eternity to lift up Your precious name. And we thank You so much this morning, Lord. Lord, for the mercy and the grace that brought us here. But Lord, we come this morning knowing that there's nothing good inside of us. There's nothing good about me, Lord. There's not one thing that I can point to that I could say that makes me worthy of being here, but Lord, how many things I can point to that says I'm not worthy. But Lord, I thank You this morning that You've allowed this to be so. Now, Father, I ask You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You come into this service. Lord, that You cleanse every mind, every heart. Lord, help us to focus on nothing but You today. And Holy Spirit, I ask You in the precious name of Jesus that You would fill this sanctuary with Your presence. I believe that You're still the powerful part of the Trinity that You were on the day of Pentecost, that Your powers are no less, that You're just as great, that You can do the same things here today that You did there if You would be so minded. And I ask You to come in this morning We invite you to come into this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. And we ask that your miraculous power would be felt in this place. I ask you today, Holy Spirit, to make me vanish and let the words that are spoken be words that originate in the heart and the mind of God. And I pray that they would pierce the hearts of those listening, not because I say them, but because they come from you. I ask this morning, if there's one here that's lost, that this would be the day that they would come to know you and the pardon and forgiveness of sin. And I pray, Father, that if there's one here today that's out of fellowship with you, if there's one here today that's out of your will, Lord, I pray that this would be the day and the hour that they would come to know that your love reaches beyond all sin, and that there's peace and safety in the Father's house, and that they're welcome. Lord, I pray that this would be a day of new beginnings for men and women, and that from this day forward lives would be changed, not because of me, but Lord, because of you and what you did on Calvary. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, honor, glory, all this due you, because we pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This ministry that I believe that God has given us is a ministry that is going to actively reach out to men and women who feel like the church has passed them by. And you know, there's a lot of people that can't understand that phrase. Who in the world would the church pass by? There's a lot of people that feel like they're left out. I can tell you today that I know of people that I have met, people I've known that wouldn't be comfortable coming in here this morning. And a lot of people would say, well, they put themselves in that position. They're responsible for being there. They got what they deserve. Just forget about them. No, sir. As I talk here and in other places, I'm going to use some of my own experiences, not because, if that ain't God, tell them to hold on. But because I know my experiences. And while there's things that I won't talk about from this pulpit this morning, there's things that I have gone through and things that I've experienced, Brother Bunk, that I believe can help somebody. I can tell you that during those years that I was out there, nobody ever came to me. For 32 years, 28 years, not one person ever came to me and said, God loves you. But I had some, boy, I'll tell you what, they rode around with a pickup truck full of rocks waiting to find me so they could stone me. And I'm not mad with nobody. Because what that taught me is this. God can use me and God can use people like you to reach out to those men and women that are out of fellowship with God, that feels like the world has sat down on top of them. Their faith is shattered. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. And that doesn't mean that they are garbage to be pushed off in the trash can somewhere. It means that we have an opportunity to reach out to men and women and say, Jesus loves you. We have an opportunity to tell people, you can come home. And your life can change. Now the question I told you that I was asking has been this week. And the person that asked me, I wish it hadn't been them. I knew it was coming. I know it'll be asked again. And there will be people that will think it, that won't have the courage to ask it. But the question that was asked me was, what gives you the right? What gives you the right to stand up, tell anybody anything? I don't have a right. I'm that fellow that the Bible spoke about when he said, he put his hand to the plow and looked back and he's not fit for the kingdom of God. I'm that man. But I can tell you why I'm here. And I can tell you why we're going to start this ministry and lead this ministry as long as God will make a way for us to do it. It's because of one word. And it's probably the greatest word that's in the Bible. It's because of grace. I love that word. Grace. I can't understand it. I don't believe there's a philosopher or theologian. I don't believe there's anybody anywhere in the world smart enough to describe and explain God's grace. The best way I can explain it to you is this: grace is not receiving what we should receive. I'm sorry, I had it backwards. Grace is not receiving what we deserve. Grace is receiving God's love and God's forgiveness. What does old Larry Coates deserve this morning? A devil's hell. What kind of forgiveness do I deserve this morning? None. But what kind of forgiveness does Christ offer this morning? Complete and total forgiveness. So you see, the message that I want to preach to people is not let's go out and build buildings and let's go out and build universities and let's go out and build these great edifices to the glory of man. The message that I want to preach to people is that God loves you regardless of who you are and right where you are. We'll shock some of you. I have prayed and asked God to give me a particular kind of church to pastor. And he's going to have to found it because I don't think it exists. I know it doesn't in Free Will Baptist. Unless there's a revival that takes place. I've asked God to allow me to have a place to preach where a man can get drunk on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday morning and hear the gospel preached and nobody stick a finger in his face and judge him. I've asked God to allow me to have a place to go and preach where a prostitute can come and sit in the house of God and listen to the word of God and nobody point their finger at her and judge her. Because if they hear the word of God long enough and the Holy Spirit deals with their life, it's going to change their life. And that's what we're all about to begin with. Jesus didn't call. He didn't call us to go to the, what kind of word do I use here? The elite of the world. When Jesus walked on this earth, he didn't go into the houses of the Pharisees and the big hoopty-doos. He went to church on the first day of the week, the Bible says, but he also went into the world where people were. And that's where I want to go, Jim. That's where people are that are hurting and in pain and need to know God loves you. There's people in this church this morning. I will guarantee you, I can't look in your face. I can't read anybody's mind. My name's not Benny. I guarantee you it's not Benny Hinn. I can't read minds. But I would guarantee you in this church this morning, there is a man, there is a woman, there may be several, that you're as much out of the will of God this morning as any human being could be. And I want to tell you, God loves you. And it don't amount to a hill of beans what your neighbors think, what the people beside of you think. It don't amount to anything. The only thing that's important this morning is what God thinks. I want to talk about this fellow. I have read that this is the most preached portion of Scripture in the Bible. I don't know if that's true or not. You read a lot of things. But if it's not the most preached, it's one of the most preached. I had preached it. I have read it. I had memorized it. But I never understood fully what the message of the prodigal son and really the whole 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke was really talking about, until I found out who he was. As long as I live, his name will be Larry. Good old Jewish name. Larinsky, I guess. I don't know. But when we go into the Bible, this is probably the most beautiful picture that's ever been painted of God's grace. And it speaks to all of us. We find in the first part of the 15th chapter, the Bible talks about a man that had 100 sheep, and he left 99 in the wilderness to go after one that had strayed. That's grace. That's grace. You see, the world looks at people when they go to church and, well, they think we're just supposed to be just plumb perfect. Don't make mistakes. Of course, now some folks just lay over there waiting for you to make a mistake. I tell you what, there ain't nothing like a self-righteous Christian. Boy, they can find more fault. I'm going to throw this in for free. This don't cost you nothing. When you hear people criticizing, slandering, gossiping, find the Bible and lead them to Christ. Because chances are they're just as lost as they can be. Because you're a Christian, you're not going to slander somebody else. Not be happy with yourself. You can't judge somebody. Be happy with yourself. I used to be the most legalistic human being in the world. Jim, 32 years ago, if somebody had did what I had done, I'd be the first one lining up with the rock, and I'd probably try to be the first one to throw it, brother. I would just pick on him. I'd talk about him. But now, I've learned that God loves that person much as he loves me, because he proved that love through me. And I don't have the right to judge anybody for anything. I can't point a finger at a living human being. But I can love them. And I can pray for them. And honey, that's our whole purpose. That's all we're here for. That's the only obligation that a Christian has, is to deliver the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ, to lift up Christ. That's all we're here for. I love you, preacher. I'm going to tell you something. I love Jim Bogle. I'll tell anybody on this earth I love Jim Bogle. I love my brother Charlie back there. I'd die for him. I love Jerry. I love JW. There's a lot of people I love, but I'm not going to put you up above Jesus. And that's what we try to do so many times. We put people in the place of Christ. We put institutions in the place of Christ. We take the precious Word of God and dissect it, to make it mean what we want it to mean, to say what we want it to say. And we put our opinion in the place of Christ. And we can't do that. We must lift up Jesus. I don't care what our background is. Let me tell you something. I'm going to get worried what people think about me when I see a pistol barrel sticking through the front door of the church. That's when I'm going to get worried. But Billy, what somebody says can't hurt you a whole lot. This is true. So I'm going to give you something else for free. We get settled in down here and this ministry begins in its fullness. Somebody calls you up and says, you ain't going to believe this. Don't you tell nobody else now. And I guarantee you that's the way it's going to be. Don't you tell nobody else now. I'm telling you because I trust you and I know you'll pray for it. Saw Larry coming out of a bar. Let me tell you something. Anybody ever tells you that? You say, I know it, brother. He told me he was going to ask me to pray for it. Because it's going to be true. I'm going to do it. Because that's where Jesus would have gone. I want to go to the places that Jesus would have gone. How do you become a prodigal son? Well, the easiest way to describe that is you just plumb go stupid. But it's a progressive thing. The Bible says this young man one day came to his father and said, Father, I want you to give me part of the wealth that's mine. And I'm going to have to make this quick now because I went to this church one time and I told the chairman, I think he was chairman of the deacon board, I said, Brother, I've got this sermon time down to exactly 1 hour and 25 minutes. He said, well, that's all right, preach as long as you want to. We're going home at 10 minutes past 12. Didn't you, J.W.? So I'm going to hold you to 5 more minutes. And I'm going to quickly go through this thing. I don't know what possessed him to do what he did. I can tell you it probably wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing. He had been thinking about it. I imagine people had been coming by his father's house for a while and talking about all these wonderful places that they had been and the things that went on and the excitement that was out there. And he just decided he wanted to try it. I want to tell you something that you've got to keep a secret. You can't tell nobody now. Because I know a lot of Free Will Baptists just give them a heart attack. Sin is fun. Don't you ever let anybody tell you sin ain't fun. If sin weren't fun, people wouldn't do it. And he saw all these visions of these things in his mind that he wanted to do. And he followed Satan. And he left the Father's house. But one day the Bible says he came to himself and he said, I'm out here starving to death and there's servants in my father's house who've got a plenty of food and they've got stuff left over and I'm out here with the hogs. I know what I'll do. I'll go to my father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. But the Bible says when he started on the way home, I don't care what nobody says, I'll guarantee you that daddy had looked at the top of that hill 20 times a day, every day since the boy had been gone. I'm not so sure he hadn't got on his ATD. You know, they didn't have all-terrain vehicles back then. They had an all-terrain donkey. I'm not surprised he didn't get on that thing and go find out where that boy was. He might have looked around the corner a few times, seen what he was doing, then went on back home and prayed for him. But the boy went home. And I want you to pick up on this right here. Then I'm going to hush. This boy had been practicing and practicing and practicing what he was going to say. And he was going to say, Father, I've sinned and I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And if you'll look down there, when he got to the Father, he started to say that speech that he had rehearsed and he had rehearsed and he had rehearsed. He got to the part that said, I'm not worthy to be your son. And Papa cut him off. He wouldn't let him finish. Bible says he wrapped his arms around him and he hugged him. And he called for a new coat to go on him. And he called for a ring to go on his finger, and he put some new sandals on his feet, and he called for somebody to kill the calf, said, "We're going to have a party. My son is home. He was alive, and now he's dead. He was alive, dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found." So let me say this to you. If you're here today and you're lost without Christ, if the whole world hates you, Jesus loves you. If you're here this morning and you're out of fellowship with God, for whatever reason, I don't care. And I promise you, you don't have to come tell me anything. None of my business. You don't have to go to the pastor over here and tell him anything. It's none of his business. It's between you and God. And if this morning you're out of fellowship, a little bit or a whole lot, makes no difference. Tell you what. If we could draw a line right down the center of this church, and over here on this side is the glory of God. Everybody standing over here, they're in fellowship with God every day, every minute, every hour. But the folks on this side of the line, they're not. Now let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if you're standing 1 inch from that line, 3 feet, 4 feet, 10 miles, 1,000 miles. You're out of fellowship with God, and you're not fulfilling the purpose that He has for your life. But He'll pull you over to this side if you ask Him. But it comes with asking. You have to ask, and then you have to receive. You say, "Larry, I got to work for my salvation." Oh, no. Didn't say that. You can't earn salvation. Good gracious. What could you do to earn being saved? You don't have enough money to buy it. You can't steal enough money to buy it. You can't make enough money to buy it. Salvation is a free gift of God. But you got to ask for it. Restoration into the family of God is just as instantaneous as speaking the words. But you got to ask for it. And God does the rest. Let me tell you something. When we turn our life over to Christ and we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take charge of our life, He makes a change and the world can't understand it. I can't understand. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know how in the world, in the snap of a finger, God did in my life what He did. I don't understand it. I just know I was there. I know it happened. I know it was real. And I know the same thing can take place in your life that took place in mine. And you see, that's my message. If God did it for me, God will do it for you. If God forgave somebody like me, God will forgive you. If God will change a life such as mine, He'll change yours. Do you know somebody that you've got a grudge against? You can't forgive them. I had a man that for 32 years, well, not 32, but almost 30, I had planned to kill that man. He was going to die when my mother died. Now, I'm not going into detail. But in my mind, I had killed him 100 times. And I told God how much I hated that person. And I said, "God, I can't forgive him. But if you'll help me, I will." Honey, let me tell you something. God is a wonderful God. Because He took that hate out of me. It's gone. I love that man. I pray for that man. And someday I hope I get to witness to him and tell him about Christ. That's my prayer. Before I die and before he dies, I want to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ and how much he loves him and how quickly he'll forgive him. Whatever takes place in your life and my life, we have to open the door. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. There may be somebody in this congregation and you've never accepted Christ. You've never made a profession of faith. You've never said, "Lord, come into my heart, forgive my sins, save my soul." Today would be a good time to do it. There might be somebody in this congregation that you've done that, but you're still just as lost can be. 87% of the people in the United States of America claim to be some kind of Christian. Then estimated that maybe 7% of them really are. I don't care how many times you've been baptized, doesn't make any difference. Are your sins forgiven? Are you out of fellowship with Christ? Are you that prodigal son or that prodigal daughter? Because if you are, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ stands waiting for you, watching for you. His arms are wide open, and He loves you. How much does He love you? He loves you enough that He sent Christ, who was God in man, and He gave His life for you. He died for you. He became the sacrifice that would bring you into fellowship with God. Now, I know there's a lot of people that say that God will never send anybody to hell, and you're absolutely right. If by chance someday you find yourself there, if you have the presence of mind, the ability to think, I want you to look at the bottom of your shoes. Say, what in the world are you talking about? Anybody that spends eternity in hell will have the blood of Christ on the bottom of their feet, because there is no way possible to get there without walking through it. You'll either be covered by it or you'll walk through it, because His blood stands between each one of us and a devil's hell. But you want it applied to your heart, not to your feet. Would you stand, please? I used to think that the mark of success for any preacher was, after he preached, if he gave the invitation and altar filled up with people, he was successful. If it didn't fill up with people, he wasn't. You know what? I've done my job. From here on out, it belongs to you. Each one of you. Not a husband and wife. Not a mother and daddy. Each individual. You'll stand alone. When we stand before God, we stand alone. I'll never give an account for one thing that you've ever done. And you will never give an account for anything that I've ever done. It'll be you and the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands. I used to like to do that. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you to search your heart right now. Invite the Holy Spirit to come in, open your eyes, open your ears, open your mind, and help you to see yourself for just what you are. If you're born again this morning and your sins are under the blood of Christ, praise God, hallelujah. That's wonderful. But if you're not certain about that this morning, if you don't know for a fact that you would go to heaven, if today would be the hour that Jesus comes, or if this would be the hour or the day that you leave this world through the vehicle of death, if you don't know for a certainty that heaven would be your home, then I invite you to come to this altar. And I invite you to bring whatever baggage and garbage you may have, all the scars, lay them at the foot of the cross, and leave them there. And I keep going back to this. If you're out of fellowship with Him, let me tell you, I know what a miserable place that can be. And I can tell you, the farther you go, the worse it gets. If you're a child of God, there's no peace in being separated from Him. Our Father, we thank You this morning for opportunity to speak on your grace. Lord, I wish I were smart enough, intelligent enough, wise enough, Lord, to get across to people just how important it is to come to you. But Lord, I ask this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit, through His presence in this church, that men and women, boys and girls would be convicted of their sins. I pray this morning, Lord, that we can look at ourselves and see exactly what we are and who we are. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would lead men and women to be saved, to rededicate their lives, to be restored, to find the peace and the safety that exist only in the Father's house. Lord, it's up to you today. And I pray that your will be done. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. What's our invitation hymn? 308. What is that? Okay.